Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation, episode 141, The Disney Experience with Shelby McBurney. So, woohoo! We're with Shelby. And she is providing the true Disney experience today, and you'll learn why, because she worked a long time at Disney, and it really, is it as magical as they say it is?
It is.
So your story is about working at Disney and what that looked like. And also today you work in a customer service, right? Or a customer facing role as a, what is your title?
Customer account coordinator.
Okay. Well, thanks again for doing this and being here. So I'm hoping through this we can learn about what does it mean to provide someone an amazing experience. We've all had those times when we went to a restaurant or a hotel and the person was so attentive and that was just so amazing. Have you ever had an experience like that where it was just so amazing and you were just like, this is the best, I could like do this forever?
Yes, yeah, I've had many experiences like that.
Yeah, and part of your time at Disney was to learn your role. Mm-hmm. You were able to do all the Disney experiences. So even the most glamorous hotels and yes, stuff like that, they in order for you to sell these things or help guide the guest, mm-hmm, you would have to do those yourselves, right?
That's right, yeah.
So it's a fun thing to talk about, and I'm excited to connect that and how it connects to what we do in trucking, but just anyone, if you're interacting with people on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm, what are some lessons? So to start, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself, mm-hmm, how you got here today, and what your interests are?
Sure, yeah. So I am about a year in to my role here. So I found the position through Michelle Horner, who started here a little before I did. She's a close family friend, so that's kind of how I found the position. My grandpa also drove here for 28 years, long time ago.
When was that?
When we were still doing LTL, so it's been a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you know that? Like, coming here, did you know that he worked here? Like, was that part of, you had some understanding of that?
Yeah, so I have a picture on my desk of him and I, and it's me in a stroller, that's how little I was, at one of the company picnics. So,
really?
Yeah, I've been around Nussbaum for a while, just never really put much thought into it because I lived away for so long in Florida.
Yeah.
But when I moved back, ended up doing a couple other jobs, and then this kind of came into the picture at the perfect time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. And to have that family legacy in a way, mm-hmm, and back when the company was a lot smaller, too.
Yes.
So I think that's pretty significant. And for 28 years, wow, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he loved it.
Yeah. So about 1 year in this role, mm-hmm, and what type of interest, hobbies do you like to do outside of work?
Yeah, so I spend a lot of time with family and friends. I also run, so that takes up a lot of time.
Yeah.
training for half marathons, full marathons. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So you've done a full marathon, half marathon.
Yep.
How did that go?
They've all gone very well. So I've only ever done one full marathon down at Disney. Okay. And I've done several half marathons and other smaller races. And they've all been great.
So at Disney, you run through the park?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, the full marathon, you run through all four theme parks down in Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you run with Disney ears too, or is that just optional?
I have, yes. I do typically run in costume or like kind of hinting towards some sort of character.
Sure.
Yeah.
So when you did you have a character that?
I did. I actually ran as Aurora that time.
Okay.
So yeah, it was all pink and I had a little crown. And
oh, fun.
Yeah.
And it went well. Marathons, it's a big endeavor. It takes a lot of time to train.
Yeah.
And did it go okay?
It did. Yeah. I did all my training up here in the winter. So then going down there with summer weather was a little tough. But it went really well for my first one.
Okay, good. Yeah. Finishing is the biggest thing.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
If you can finish, that's huge. I don't know what the percentage is, but that's of people that have run marathons. But that's amazing.
Yeah.
So you said that and your hobbies mm-hmm. and spending time with your family mm-hmm. and yeah, anything else that just about your interest or
traveling. Love to travel. Yeah. Typically go down to Florida.
Okay. To Disney.
Yes. Try to.
Yeah. And do you have any travel plans on the horizon? Future?
I actually have a trip to Disney this next in January.
Wow.
So
okay.
That's the only one right now, but there'll probably be more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know if you're picking up on this, but Shelby really likes Disney. But also, like, it was a big experience. You think about that. You were there for 5 years?
About 4 years.
Four years. Mm-hmm. And there is a culture to Disney. Mm-hmm. Like, everything they do with reason, with purpose, and they want to provide it the most best experience for everyone.
Yes.
Even the trash. They'll take that down through secret hidden alleyways so the guests at the park don't have to see the trash.
Yes.
They're meticulous about mm-hmm. everything they do.
Yeah, so they have like theme music when you're walking through the park that you'll hear kind of on a loop. So depending on where you are, the music will change. It's the whole experience. Kind of like the smell will change. Everything changes.
Really?
Yeah.
So, and everyone is dressed up, right? Everyone in each world. Mm-hmm. And I heard you were telling me that you can't, if you're dressed up in one world, you can't walk to another one. Mm-hmm. You have to go on the tunnels?
Or? Yes, correct. So, okay. So at Magic
this is all
Kingdom,
the Disney lore that I don't know about. So
there's a lot to know.
Yeah.
So at Magic Kingdom, they have what's called the Utilidor. So mm-hmm. it's the underground system that mm-hmm. is so mysterious to everybody. That's how you get actually from point A to point B when you mm-hmm. work in the parks, or you can go backstage. There's doors all over. But you cannot go from one land to another in costume. Same thing, like you can't go up for your lunch break in costume. You have to change. So you can't mess up the show. It's a big piece of Disney. So in the other parks, you would just use backstage access. But at Magic Kingdom, you can go underground, and that's how you get around.
Wow. Utilidors.
Exactly,
like a teleportation.
Yes. Yep.
So with Disney, I thought you could give us you are a history buff when it comes to Disney. Could you give us a little bit of history behind how did Disney come to be what it is today?
Sure. So there's a lot to know. Walt Disney himself is the one who created everything. So he got the idea sitting on a park bench watching his daughters playing in just a very small little park. And he wanted a place that adults and children could have fun together. So that's kind of how the parks came about. But before that, he was always a creative mind. He was an animator. He was big into drawing, into making things come to life, doing the voices. He was the original voice of Mickey Mouse.
Wow.
He started with Mortimer Mouse, so it wasn't Mickey originally. And his wife actually thought that was a little creepy, so they changed it to Mickey. And it's changed over time, of course, from when he first started and had the original idea, because so many people shut him down and said that his ideas really wouldn't amount to anything. And he kept persisting, he kept changing locations. And finally, people started giving him chances, and that's kind of how the company has grown to what it is today. He just was persistent.
Yeah, persistent. Back in the day when each frame you had to make in order, there's no computer animation, but you'd have to draw each frame individually. Mm-hmm. It's a very big task to animate anything.
Yeah, he was the first one to put the sound to the motion picture for cartoons.
So it really started out with those short films, right? Is like those Mickey Mouse short films. Mm-hmm. And from there, expanded into all the movies you see, some of the early ones, Snow White, and all these. And all of a sudden, you have these different worlds. And now I think the money they make in the parks that they have, Disneyland, Disney World, is more than they make from the movies each year, just as far as that's how big it's become, that they've diversified and they have so many other things. But it's interesting to hear how he was rejected. Like, it didn't go over well at the beginning.
Many times.
He
actually used his hometown of Marceline, Missouri. The main street is the idea that he got for the theme parks and their main street. So going back there, I've been there once with my family, and it was actually pretty cool to see the similarities and kind of what he pulled from there. Yeah. And his childhood home, he had what was called the Dreaming Tree that was outside of his home down there in Marceline, and they pay homage to that in the parks. This random tree that was there that was significant to his life, and he just kind of kept his hometown in his pocket everywhere he went. So he went through Kansas, out to California, of course, when he started building the property down in Florida, or kind of eyeing the property down there. He always was thinking about Marceline, which I thought was cool, sort of like how he started and not necessarily letting people kind of tear him down, even though he was a small town boy with a big dream.
So what was the vision? What did he want it to become, right? What was the vision behind Disney?
Yeah, so interesting enough, he actually had different visions for different parks. So California was simply just a place that the adults and kids could enjoy themselves together. And then when he started kind of searching for the property in Florida, he had Magic Kingdom in mind and Epcot. So Epcot was actually supposed to be a town that people were going to live in. That's what he had a vision for. So it wasn't supposed to be a theme park. It was supposed to be a kind of a futuristic town. So his ideas were beyond his years, I would say, and beyond kind of the technology available at the time. Yeah. But he just really wanted a place that people could just kind of relax and forget the rest of the world. That was the big thing. It was just to go in there and make it feel like it was somewhere just outside of the real world.
It's pretty cool. And the reason why I'm asking all these questions is because there is a connection to like Nussbaum and the stuff we do. I think if we learn about why he's doing these things, we can provide some type of service that is premium, right? Yes. Or like think about the drivers that come in on a day-to-day basis. If we understand the heart of, you know, why Disney made such an amazing thing, or Chick-fil-A, when you go to Chick-fil-A and they say, "My pleasure, can I refresh your beverage?" it makes you feel special. And it's like, how can we provide that with the people we talk to every day? Can we provide a extra premium interaction with someone, if that makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I also heard that you are really good at fun facts with Disney.
Yes.
What are some of those fun facts with Disney?
So one of the most fun facts I would say that people just love to hear is that the popcorn sales in the Magic Kingdom pay for the fireworks shows every day.
Popcorn.
And it's about, I know at one point it was $50,000 a day for the fireworks shows. I don't know if that's still accurate, inflation, but at one point that was the fact. I believe it's still true that just the popcorn sales for the fireworks.
Wow. Just the popcorn, not even the pretzels.
That's,
you know,
right.
You factor in the pretzels and you can pay for
tons
of popcorn. Other stuff.
Wow. Yeah. The Utilidors, of course, people love to hear about that. There's actually tours you can do that take you down there.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, that's where the trash goes. So it's not as as magical as necessarily like the upstairs. Magic Kingdom is built on the second floor, so a lot of people don't know that. The Utilidors are not the basement. Those are actually just ground level, and you're on the second floor when you're in the Magic Kingdom in Florida. So very interesting.
Is there a basement, like below?
No, it's ground level,
so it feels like
you're in a basement, but you're actually
not
just...
Not really.
Yeah, ground level.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
What does it take to become a Disney character at the park?
Well, it depends which one. They have face and fur characters.
Okay.
So the ones who are face characters, those are very strict guidelines.
Sure.
You have to be a certain height, weight, have certain features. For being a fur character, those are kind of like a height thing to make sure you fit in the costume.
Sure.
I was neither. I was never friends with a character, but it's a pretty intense process to become
very,
a character from what I've heard.
Yeah. Sounds difficult.
Yes.
Yeah. And you have to have the personality for it.
Yes.
Well, if anyone could be a Disney character, I think you could pull it off just as far as having like that personality and making people feel appreciated. And with this too, in your job, and we're going to get into that, what you did at Disney is you provided experiences for people. People would come to the park and say, "Hey, how do I spend my money?" And you're like, "Hey, do this and this and this."
Yeah.
So how did you get plugged in. Why did you end up at Disney and how did you get started there?
Yeah, so I started with the Disney College program in 2016. I had a family friend who was a couple years older than me, and she ended up doing the Disney College program and working in attractions, and she worked at the Haunted Mansion. And I remember seeing her pictures on Facebook, and it was so cool. I'm like, I want to go work there. So I kind of started looking into the process. She was the only person I knew that had done it, so I didn't really know a lot about it. Just started Googling, and then I started the application process. Everyone thought I was crazy for doing it. They're like, you've never been to Disney. You don't know anything about it. So I took the leap. I went through the super long interview process at the time. It's quite a few interviews. It's a lot of answering questions, waiting. It's a very long process. And then ended up being selected, which was really cool. Went down there for about 6 months on my internship. So it was the fall of 2016. And I worked in merchandise, so I was actually in the parks. You walk into the casting building when you first move down there, and you don't know where you're going to be, where they're expecting you to be. You just walk in, and you are handed a sheet with a sticker on it, and it tells you your assignment for your internship. And I ended up getting Main Street West, which is what was the Emporium at the time. It was amazing working there over the holidays, but that's kind of how I got started, was just seeing a friend do it and thought, that looks pretty cool. I kind of want to try that.
Yeah. And the fact that it worked out, and you could have ended up in a lot of areas. It seems like you could end up doing parking duty, doing concessions.
Yes.
Yeah. What are the different options that you could have?
Yeah.
Is there, you could have done rides.
They can pretty much put you anywhere aside from like an office job. But I had five roommates who were all strangers to me at the time, and they just place you with random people. So my roommates, I had some of them did food service, some of them did theme park entry. So they worked at the front entrance scanning tickets. One roommate did parking. So it was kind of a mix of what you could get, but you could do photo pass. There was a few different things that they could have you do, but starting out during the interview process, you can tell them kind of what you enjoy or what your interests are, but ultimately they pick for you.
Cool. So describe some of the onboarding process. I assume at that point they're trying to fill your head with everything they want you to know. What did that look like, and what was your first impression of being there?
Yeah, so it was, of course, magical. You start out doing what they call traditions. So it's a class that every single cast member has to take, no matter your role. You could be a janitor, you could be an executive level. Everyone does traditions. And it's where you learn about the company culture and what matters most to the company and just what it takes to become a cast member and carry the values that Disney upholds. So you learn about safety, courtesy, show, efficiency. Those are their four main keys. So similar to how Nussbaum has our values, those were the four that they kind of put the biggest emphasis on when I went through. They've now added a fifth key called inclusion. So it's right there in the middle. So those are the things that you really focus on during traditions. And you learn more about the company history, kind of why we do what we do. They show some videos that hit home to, you know, seeing parents surprising their kids with a vacation that they didn't know they were going on. And you watch all these different scenarios that really gets you more excited to be where you are in that room. And that's where you get your name tag, your employee pass or cast member pass that gets you into the park. So that's exciting. Okay. How you enter your job, you get a pair of Mickey ears. So they make it a full experience when you first start. Yeah. So it gets you even more excited.
And your Mickey ears, is that your like promotion, or is that just, that's like your welcome to the club, here's your ears?
Yeah, okay. Pretty much, yeah, welcome to the club.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. And when do you graduate that traditions class?
So it's usually a day, sometimes it's more than a day, but then you're done with that class, and then you go on to training in your actual role. So you go on site to wherever you're going to be. Like for my college program, it was going straight to Magic Kingdom. You have to go to costuming and get your costume that you're going to wear. You have to start learning kind of just the simple things, how to clock in and out, what your role entails, how to even get to your job. Because when you work in the parks, you park off of the Magic Kingdom property and you're bussed in. So it's a lot to kind of learn when you first get there. But then when I did some of my other positions, you're doing a lot of hands-on learning, and just that can vary depending on what it is.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. And sometimes there's things that they'll tell you that you wouldn't be aware of. Mm-hmm. And when they're training you, what are some of those Disney etiquette rules that you should, things to do or not to do, mm-hmm. as an employee?
So they're
They're called cast members,
yes.
Right? Everyone is, that is an employee is a cast member.
Correct.
And everyone that is a customer is a guest.
A guest.
Okay,
yes.
Got it. Okay.
I know the nomenclature, once you've been out of it for so long, it's like, okay, try to remember all the terms.
Yeah.
It's one of the big things that always makes me laugh is you learn the two-finger point. So it's considered rude in some cultures to point with one finger. So it's either an open hand point or a two-finger point. That's one thing that you learn that is kind of a culture thing, mm-hmm. down at Disney. Yeah. They also, of course, teach you sort of the customer service ins and outs, what you say, what you don't say, how you talk to people. It's not for necessarily every position, but when I was working in office, you were not supposed to say no problem or whatever made it sound like it could have been taken wrong, you couldn't say. So my pleasure, similar to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
It may I, not can I, you know, you just change your lingo a little bit, and
yeah.
that's sort of what you learn. And you pick up on it because everyone talks like that in
sure.
the company. So the more you're around people, it's kind of like when you hear accents and you kind of start to pick up on the accents, sort of like
yeah.
that, where it's just, that's what everyone does. So that's what you
yeah.
do.
So no problem would imply that there is a problem.
There could be a problem.
There
yes.
could be a problem. There may not be. So let's just avoid that altogether.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Yeah. And those things, little things like that is mm-hmm. what can make an experience so special.
Yeah.
Like down to everything from the sights, the smells. Mm-hmm. And with that Emporium job, what did you like about that and what did you not like about that?
So I really did love that job. It was the hardest job I think I've ever had, but the most fun job. I loved the people I worked with. We were all kind of in the same experience together. The hardest part was the hours because I worked over the holidays. So it could be, you know, 13, 14 hour shifts sometimes just because that's what was needed at that time. So you'd get home at 5 or 6 in the morning and it was really cool because working those overnight shifts and pulling the long hours, you got to see some of the incredible things that are done that people don't even know about that pull the whole show together. So for example, when they change seasons, that happens overnight. So in one night, you can watch time-lapse videos, they completely decorate the theme parks.
Wow.
So of course, you know, there's little things that are done here and there after that, but ultimately it all goes up or down in a night. So being able to see that firsthand was the coolest thing ever. just how many people it takes and the little tiny details that mm-hmm. people probably don't really notice unless you point it out, that Disney makes sure is perfect and
yeah.
to a T. So that was the coolest thing. I loved being able to interact with guests firsthand. Mm. And I've always said that Disney is magical, but seeing it through guests' eyes, especially kids' eyes, is like a whole different level because they're so excited. They're just like, it truly is magic to them. And
yeah.
so seeing families just being able to bond over the smallest things. Like to us, it's like, oh, okay, they came here and got, you know, the stuffed Mickey or whatever that I helped them purchase. But ultimately, like that's probably something they'll have forever that they look back on and they remember this trip or these certain memories. So that was the coolest, to see it firsthand, the impact that you have on people.
Yeah. To see mm-hmm. that joy.
Yeah.
It really is in those small things,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that extra bit of kindness and
mm-hmm.
like you said, the decorations in the park.
Yeah.
Like those small things is what sets apart a normal theme park mm-hmm. from a whole experience, next level place that you, yeah, come back to. Those memories that follow along with you.
Yeah.
And yeah, those small things with marketing, we've talked about this for ourselves and how do we mm-hmm. make our job good. We came up with the phrase like surprise and delight.
Yes.
Was one of those phrases that we talked about. And what are ways that you can surprise and mm-hmm. delight people
exactly.
in the stuff, the content that you're producing or whatever it is and part of your job. What are those small ways to surprise and delight? And
mm-hmm.
Disney has a great example of doing that.
Yeah, we were told to do that in the parks, which was really cool. You could make magical moments were
yeah.
a big thing. And that was, it like almost brought tears to your eyes sometimes, mm-hmm. different things that you would do. But it could be something as small as like pin trading or giving a kid a sticker or just anything that you could do to make their experience just a little bit more special or more magical. Like one time I remember I had a quarter in my pocket randomly, and this kid came up and he was collecting all 50 states of quarters, and we were told, you know, spend time with the guests and interact with them and help them have these moments. And he asked me if I had any quarters that he was missing, and I think he was only missing like two. Mm-hmm. And I pulled it out and I was like, well, is this one of them? And it was one that he was missing just randomly.
Wow.
And he was so excited. His dad was like, you seriously just made his day. And it was like, I pulled a quarter out of my pocket.
Yeah.
But just taking that time, you know, not writing off a kid that's like, do you have a quarter? And so it was cool that we were expected to kind of interact with these people and just seeing like how it just kind of elevated their experience just a little bit more. Even though I was just working in a store,
mm-hmm.
I was technically a cashier. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Right.
But the experiences that mm-hmm. you got to make were no less than anywhere else in the park.
Yeah. So they encourage you and mm-hmm. enable you in mm-hmm. some ways. Like if you were to go out of your way to do something
yes.
for some, or maybe you just gave something for mm-hmm. free or something like that, they would
yes.
be somewhat okay with that, right? Like
yes.
they encourage it.
Yeah, they had these like no strings is what they were called.
Yeah.
So if you saw like a kid who maybe, you know, spilled their ice cream on their shirt or dropped something on the ground,
sure.
I could give them a no strings and they could go and get a new shirt or a new, you know, Mickey bar or something.
Wow.
So it's just those little things that families were so appreciative for, and it just let
huge.
Them kind of relax and just enjoy the experience.
And stuff like that is what makes me want to go to a place,
yeah.
right? Like
mm-hmm.
when you those small little things, and that means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking of an example of someone was staying at the Ritz-Carlton, like a really nice hotel, and they lost like their wedding ring, and they were so like it was at a restaurant. And they were telling their waiter that, and you know, they're so distraught. He asked them how their day was, and he told them, anyways, after their meal, like the waiter went out with maybe him and some two others, and they looked, and I think they got a metal detector and everything, and they spent time outside of their working hour, like you know, to go and do that,
yeah.
and they found the ring.
Oh wow!
And an experience like that
mm-hmm.
made it go from something like just normal to like wow, like. This was amazing. Like,
yeah.
And not because they had to,
mm-hmm.
but that was part of the culture. What are some ways that you can do that? I love mm-hmm. the quarter example
yeah.
you said too. That kid's gonna remember that.
Yeah.
You know, you made his day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah,
just
it's
something
cool.
Something so small.
Something so small. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, cool. So you stayed in a cramped a place with five other people.
I did, yes. So it was a 3-bedroom apartment. There was 6 of us, so 2 to a room. It ended up being so much fun. And growing up in Bloomington Normal, it was quite the culture shock moving down there initially anyway. And then you move in with strangers. The first time I ever went to Disney was my training there. I had never been there before that. So I move in with 5 other girls from all over the country. We all have different cultures, different backgrounds. Some spoke different languages. So it was a very unique experience, but it was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped me do my job better because mm-hmm. it was like I could relate to people from other cultures where had I just stayed here and not gone, I might
yeah.
not have known certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, very a culture shock.
Yes.
Almost.
Very much.
Yeah. That's cool. And any stories you want to share from that experience, or just leave it at that? It was a great experience.
It was a great experience. We had a lot of fun. We spent a lot of time together.
Okay.
You help each other through the experience. Most of us hadn't lived outside of our parents' home before, so we were kind of all in it together, being bottom of the totem pole for this very large company.
Yeah, but probably look back on that as a joy.
Yes.
Great. So then this next adventure, part of your experience there,
mm-hmm.
when you finished, did you want to come back to Disney?
I did not. No, I had no intentions of going back.
You said that was too tiring.
Yes. Yeah, it was. I was ready to come back home. It was a culture shock, so I was ready to come back to cornfields and home. And then the more I was home, the more I was like, I kind of miss that. And just being able to go and play and have fun and almost live this like fantasy life, it was enjoyable, even though the work was hard. So I started applying and just to kind of see what positions were out there. And that led me to going back full time to Disney Cruise Line. I worked shoreside, so I was not okay.
You're not on the boat.
No.
Supporting the boat.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So working shoreside with our guests. I did a couple different positions there, and that was incredible. Another very hard job. It's not quite as magical all the time working there as it is
you're
visiting.
In an office setting?
You're in an office.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
And you're working late hours.
Sure.
Because when you first start out again, of course, you know, you're working the closing shift. And we have what was called Wave when they would release the new itineraries. So very busy times of year. You have people that are waiting hours to talk to you on the phone. But again, you still sell the experience just like you would if you were face-to-face with them or in the theme park. So
sure.
It's really not any different in an office.
Right, right. Finding ways to create that experience over the phone.
Yes.
What did you do exactly?
Yeah, so when I first started, I was simply booking cruises for our guests. So just general booking, they would just call in and I don't want to call it a representative, but that's what you are.
Yeah.
So they would call in and get anybody to help them kind of answer their questions, get the reservation booked, any information they needed. And then after that position, I went over to a little bit more kind of specialized area. So I had my own guests that I would work with. I had my own extension, my own email, so they could work with me directly. They could get back in touch with me. So it was a little bit better there because it wasn't quite as randomized. Mm-hmm. It still could be at times, but it was kind of the same hours, long hours. But you did get some perks, of course, you know, working for the cruise line. And it was funny because almost anywhere you went, other cast members looked at you like, oh, you work for the cruise line. So it was like that. You felt more important. You weren't, but you felt it.
Did they give you like some cruise points or like, you know, it's like, oh, you get to ride free once a year? Or what does that look like?
Yeah. So there are perks to working for the cruise line. You do get to do like a test cruise. There's a lot of different ways to get there. So it's a little hard, especially because you don't really get much time off to take those, you know, benefits.
Yeah.
But so I never got it when I was working there, but I did have friends who worked there after I did, and I got to benefit from them. So I went with them, and you only pay taxes and port fees. So the cruise itself is comped.
Okay.
And it's very nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you able to do that?
I was, okay. Yeah, on one of the new ships too. So that was really cool. I did that just a couple years ago.
Okay.
A bunch of friends went, and that was probably the best trip I've ever had. Going with just a bunch of my girlfriends,
yeah.
And we had a blast.
Best trip ever.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Pretty special.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so you started off doing booking and you were more specialized area in that.
Mm-hmm.
And how long did you do that for?
I did that. It was probably a year and a half in total, I think, that I did that, just working for the cruise line. So once I got a little bit tired of the hours, I was looking for something else, just a different part of the company, because I wanted to explore different options,
mm-hmm.
Which led me to Disney Signature Services.
Okay.
So there we worked with guests who stayed club level at resorts.
What's the club level?
Club level.
For those that have never stayed at club level.
I know, I forget. A lot of different terminology. So club level is you pay a higher premium to have access to the clubs at the deluxe resorts. So they could pay to get like appetizers. There's kind of like food and drinks available all day long. They do different activities for club guests. They get a little bit higher level of service just because they've got concierge available to them to help out with whatever they need. They can call parks if they need it for whatever it may be. They can order things for you. They kind of go a little bit more beyond what a typical cast member
more
would
Disney
do.
Than regular Disney.
Yeah,
Disney
hard to
the
believe.
Max.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So we assisted those guests. So it gave them access to us. That's what our whole team was for, was so that they didn't have to wait in the general line and talk to just any cast member. We were specialized in those special signature experiences. So we were able to give them all the details, get them booked, call on their behalf, do whatever was needed to kind of make these things happen. And we would go above and beyond for them because they are paying a premium. You know, mm-hmm. they're not any more special than any other guest, but we did give them another level of care.
That's part of what they're paying for, exactly. Is to have those extra benefits.
Yes.
And I've heard it said that if you can offer another level of service, you always should, because there's always people that are willing to pay for it.
Exactly.
So,
which we found out.
Therein is your job.
Yes, yeah, they actually,
those people.
At the time, so fast passes, they used to do 3 free fast passes each day. They tested a pilot program with our guests where they could pay a certain amount for extra fast passes.
Okay, sure.
And they realized how popular it was, and they were like, people are going to pay for this. So now you have to pay for these passes.
Yeah.
You don't get them for free anymore because they know people will pay. So
sure, yeah. That makes sense, and good business.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
So what were some of these guests? Like, who are these people that are, staying at this club level?
Yeah, so it could be really anybody. It could be just people who wanted that next level experience. It could be celebrities. It could be royal families. It could really be just about anybody that wanted to or could pay the price to do it. Mm. So I got to work with a lot of very cool guests, a lot of managers for very cool guests.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just the club level guests that we worked with. We also worked with VIP tour guests. So some people don't want to stay on Disney property. It's just not maybe to their level. So even guests who stayed at like Four Seasons or the Ritz-Carlton or at a private home,
sure.
We assisted them as well. So you would get sometimes even higher level government officials, whoever
right.
it may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or someone that's famous and they don't want to get mobbed by a bunch of people.
Exactly.
Was there anyone like famous like that you were able to work with? Or?
Yes. So probably the coolest family I ever worked with was the Jordan family. So,
which
Michael Jordan's family was very, they were very, very down to earth, very sweet and kind people. I was shocked to, most of the time when a celebrity calls, it's a family member, it's their manager, it's somebody taking care of them. But it was actually Mrs. Jordan who I got to speak with, which was really cool because she was so just down to earth. I had no idea it was even her the first few minutes we were talking. So I got to work with them a few times. Some of the NASCAR families I got to work with and get to know. So it was really cool getting to work with some people who you admire on TV. You grow up looking up to these people, and then you talk to them just like anybody else.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's great. And glad that it was a good experience too, to know that Mrs. Jordan was so sweet. It's like, who am I talking to?
Yeah.
Oh, this is, Michael Jordan's wife.
Yeah. <It's> like, which she did not even say. The name clicked with me and I was like, oh my goodness. Like, you could have somebody else take care of us or whatever, but she was just
very down to earth.
Yeah, very down to earth, very sweet.
Cool.
Just wanted a relaxed vacation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Glad. And you're there to help them through it all. Mm-hmm. And in order to sell those services, you have to know what those services are, right?
Yes.
So part of that onboarding period was trying some of those, right?
Yes.
What are some of those experiences and what did you do in order to start that job?
So we got to do everything from testing out tours to testing restaurants to new resorts. It could be just some like a simple experience that maybe they're looking to roll out that we got to test out. So the coolest part was I got to bring people along with me, so they got to see what I did for work, what our guests get to do, and they got to experience it. And every one of them that went with me was like, that was the coolest thing I've ever done. So it was cool getting to bring people along because I did it every day and you kind of take it for granted a little bit, just knowing what's available. But getting to see people experience it was really cool. So starting the job, you know kind of what you're in for and the level of service that you have to provide. So getting to do the experiences, seeing the cast members that actually do these, like lead the tours, or are checking our guests into these hotels and these club level rooms. You just see the care and the thought that they put into things. So it was cool to get to see, once they leave our hands, whose hands they go to next, and that they're still cared for the same.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you were able to stay in some of those hotels, the club level suite, yes. and you're able to bring someone along. Mm-hmm. How was that experience?
It was amazing. So staying club level wasn't necessarily like a comped experience, but you got heavily discounted rates,
Great.
Which was the best part.
Yeah.
So I got to bring my mom, my grandma, and my best friend with me on a stay at the Grand Floridian. We stayed club level. They gave us a room in an entrance that it was like kind of like a secret entrance is what they called it. And that's what they used for celebrities like Justin Bieber. They used that entrance to get Princess Diana in.
So Princess Diana stayed in this?
Not in that exact room,
but like
she
one
stayed
like
in that, yeah, in that little area of rooms.
Okay,
so
wow.
It was very cool.
Wow.
We felt like celebrities.
Right, right. You're touching the carpet that Justin Bieber touched.
Right. Exactly, yeah.
Wow, okay. Mm-hmm. And so what made it so fantastic? You mentioned the little secret, if you need to escape in a certain way without people seeing you, other exits.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything else that made it great?
Yeah, I think it's just you see these people experiencing this luxury product, and not everybody can do Disney, at the highest level. Of course, Disney is amazing no matter where you're at, but there are certain things that kind of elevate it a little bit. So being in arguably the most expensive resort on their property was cool in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing how you're treated, just the cast members just treat you a little bit differently almost. And being able to have that kind of like the close access to the parks, you got to see the fireworks from our room. It was just, it made the whole experience. You just felt like you were almost in a Disney movie, like
wow.
that it wasn't real life.
Wow, that's pretty special.
Yeah.
And so you said there's a lot of tours, like private tours. You get to go to mm-hmm. the front of the line with these passes,
mm-hmm.
Boating experiences. And you stayed at the Grand Floridian. Hard to say. What are some of those tours like?
Yeah, so there are all kinds of tours. At the time, so you could do a VIP tour, which was just simply like rides only. You went with mm-hmm. sort of a Disney expert who took you around for the day. They drove you to each of the parks. They got you into the parks through whatever entrance they were using. It wasn't considered front of the line access, but that's basically what you got. They just couldn't call it that. And you got to do the ride as many times as you wanted, so it was expedited access.
Mm-hmm.
Those sort of rides, those were a big hit. There were guided tours, so if you wanted to learn more about like the history of the park, or maybe if you wanted to go to Animal Kingdom and pet a rhino. They had
Whoa.
Tours that did that. So there was a tour for everybody. But
yeah.
I would say our rides were probably the most popular because you got to cater. They would do whatever you wanted to do. You could create your own day and the cast member would just make it happen. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to do all kinds of tours. There were a little bit cheaper options where you could do like a group tour for rides
mm-hmm.
where you did a set amount, like the Thrills tour where you did all the thrill rides. And there were some more classic rides. So, yeah, pretty much. I mean, we had an experience for almost everybody.
Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. And that was your job.
Yeah.
Someone comes to you and is like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Help me spend my money. And you're like, oh, you can do this and this and this. Or what are your interests?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about this last phase of your job at Disney. Mm-hmm. What were some of the things that you learned on the job, and what did that look like growing in your job?
Mm-hmm. I learned a lot. So I learned just how to interact with just about any kind of guest, because even though we were a more specialized area, you also had guests who would somehow get a hold of your phone number, and they weren't staying club level. Maybe they weren't even staying on Disney property, but they needed help. And you wouldn't turn them away just because they got to the wrong area. You would still help them. So it was just that humanity piece of like, treating every person with respect, giving them a magical experience, no matter who they are, because it's Disney. You know, you can't pick and choose. So just kind of getting to have that more personalized experience, asking questions. I've learned how to kind of do a discovery call. So that was something I hadn't really had to do before working at Disney Cruise Line or Signature Services, was listening, putting a big emphasis on listening to what people need and then figuring out how to help them rather than jumping to it. Even though you are the subject matter expert, how can you hear somebody out and know what they need? And figure out the best way to help them, just human to human, basically.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's a huge skill.
Yeah.
I mean, that covers every field, industry. You think for people with software, the people that write code, you can jump right in saying, hey, I can make you this and this and this. So it's like, well, do you listen to what are the needs that we really need to make happen? And for that, too, like, you could start recommending, oh, you need to do the what's the one that you really, that your friend that did the Tower of Terror.
Oh, the Tower of Terror.
You can be like, you need to do the Tower of Terror because this is the best. But you need to hear like, oh, well, maybe they don't like rides.
Exactly.
Maybe they get scared. Maybe they want some of the more like the teacup ride. Or
yeah, right.
What's that one? Is there a teacup ride?
There is a teacup ride, yes.
It's great. I'm testing my Disney knowledge.
You're good.
Right now. It's good. So listening, you really learned how to listen to people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's cool.
Yeah,
okay.
It was a big part of it, and not just trying to sell them or upsell them, but just sort of be there for them and help them how you can.
Treat them like humans. And
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Daniel, our audio video engineer, is going to hop in here and,
First off, with the Disney College program, how much actual schooling is involved with the Disney College program?
Ooh, good question. So there is actually no required schooling. There is optional classes you can take, but you are to either be enrolled in college when you get into the program, or you have had to have completed it within 6 months of getting into the program. So you technically do need to be a student, and then there are other classes you can take there.
And which were you?
So I was actually in school at the time, so I had to take college classes while I was down there experiencing Disney.
That sounds like a lot.
It was a lot. Worth it.
Okay, my next question is, did working at Disney take away any of the magic kind of seeing behind the curtains?
So it did not. I would say sometimes it ruined the magic a little bit just in the hustle and bustle of things and being... Specifically on my college program, you are treated like you are the bottom feeders. So that made it a little more difficult because there was times where you weren't necessarily treated as fairly or as nicely as you would be if you were a full-time cast member. So that made it a little less magical. But seeing how it's all done, I would say almost makes it more magical because you understand what goes into putting this whole thing on. So I don't think it really ruined it.
Do you prefer Disneyland or Disney World better?
So, I prefer Disneyland, personally.
Really?
I am a big history nerd, specifically with Disney. And when I went to Disneyland, it was like a whole new experience for me. So I would say if you enjoy the history side of things, Disneyland is more special. If you're trying to get the experience of rides and the fun, Disney World is probably better. Mm-hmm.
Did you get to play one-on-one with Michael Jordan? And if so, did you win?
I did not. I never actually met him in person. my friend, who was his tour guide many times, did get to go out with him each day. And he said that he is just a very humble person. They did not play basketball, I don't believe. But they are kind people to be around.
Awesome. Which Disney park is your favorite and or the best?
I would say just my bias from my college program would probably be Magic Kingdom, just because that's where I spent most of my time. It's nostalgic to me as an adult, I guess, if that makes sense. But I truly do have a soft spot for Magic Kingdom. But also, I feel like Animal Kingdom is a close second because it is very underrated.
That was my next question. What's the most underrated part of Disney?
Wow.
I would say Animal Kingdom for sure.
Awesome. Wow. Unfortunately, this came to an end, right? Like your time at Disney and due to COVID, correct? So, how did that look? Take me through the experience of kind of the end, the abruptness of the end, and then coming to where you are today?
Yeah, it was very odd. Looking back now, it just felt like it was exciting almost, as weird as that is to say. We were all in our office working as normal, and you could kind of feel the slowdown a little bit when there was mumblings of this virus that was potentially being spread. And people were starting to ask us questions. How is this going to impact Disney? We hadn't heard yet. We were like, we have no idea. Business as usual right now. But you could tell there was, we were much slower the first couple days before we actually got sent home. And we were told one day that, all right, you guys are going home for 2 weeks. We're shutting everything down and everyone's isolating, and then we'll come back and everything will be fine. And so that day, we were all like, sweet, a two-week vacation. Like, we're getting paid. This is awesome.
Wow.
We were all coloring, like, in coloring books because we just really didn't have much else to do. And then it was like, we all went home and we're like, all right, see you in 2 weeks. Have fun. And I went to the nail salon because I was like, I can't get my nails done for 2 weeks. What am I going to do? So I went to my apartment like usual and kind of was getting ready to hunker down. And then at the end of the 2 weeks, kind of when we were nearing it, they reached out and said, actually, you're going to stay home until further notice. And they told us we were being furloughed, which at the time I'm like, I've never even heard that word.
Right.
So they furloughed us, and they didn't have a date. They didn't really have much information. There was only a couple people that were still working at the time, and the rest of us just had to go on unemployment. We were pretty much just kind of hanging tight until we heard more. Mm-hmm. And then this went on for, gosh, when did we even get sent? Was that March, I think, of 2020?
Right, yeah.
That it all went down. And then in October, I was officially laid off. So it was actually on the anniversary of Walt Disney World, I was laid off. Kind of a bummer. Yeah, so it was a very long time of being in the unknown. And, like, you couldn't even go to the place that made you happy. Like, Disney World was shut down for so long. And then when we finally did get to go back, it was eerie because there was nobody there. And I mean, it was cool because you were like the only ones in the park, but it was weird because it wasn't the Disney that everyone knew.
Yeah.
So getting laid off was tough because HR calls you and they tell you, like, you need to come and schedule a time to pack your desk up, and you couldn't be there with everybody. So everyone had to come at different times. And so I was led into the building and had to pack up my stuff. Not a soul was in there with me. So it was, and everything was left as normal. Like, your pens were still out if you had stuff out. Like, your drawers were untouched. It was weird.
Yeah, bizarre.
Yeah. So you packed everything up and then you just had to leave. So it was like all those years of, like, my experience just done. So that was strange. I knew I didn't want to work there forever, but I didn't expect it to end like that. And I wasn't necessarily ready. So yeah, it was a tough ending, but a lot of good things came from it, a lot of good experiences, and I think it ended the way that it should have. So mm-hmm.
You're very abrupt. I mean, you think about those friendships that you have at work, and it's, you think that you'll have one last hoorah, and then you kind of don't. So unfortunate, but I mean, you still have some of those connections with those people that you worked with?
Yes.
There? Yeah. Okay.
Yep. I still go visit them. We still talk all the time. Okay. So, yeah, good friendship still.
Good. That's, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Then, so Nussbaum, we talked a little bit how you had the family connection, but so you moved back home during that time?
I waited a couple of years before I actually moved back home. So I did not move back home until, what is it, 2025? So it was 2023. I moved back home.
So what were you doing in between?
I was doing just odd jobs. I worked for a friend at one time. I worked for a family friend. When I moved back home, I ended up working for Rivian for a short period of time. Until I experienced another layoff. And then that led me here, though.
Okay,
so
that's great.
I did a lot of random things that I wouldn't have normally have done if I didn't experience that abrupt layoff and have to figure out what I want to do. So it was good experience with everything I did, and it brought me here. So no complaints.
Yeah. I mean, just like Walt Disney was resilient and
he
had stuff get shut down, you're resilient too, and you overcame that, and you're thriving now, and your job, you've got over a year.
Yep.
You just got through your 1 year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's awesome.
Goes by fast.
Yeah. And so, like, customer service, and this is our final thing before we land this plane, is connecting the customer service aspect to the Disney stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, is it, what are the things that we can take home with us to remember? And you mentioned several things, treating people like humans.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
is one of those ones that come to mind. And yeah, bringing that humanity piece. But yeah, what are some mm-hmm. of those things that you can help us understand?
I think just kindness overall. You never know what somebody's going through. That was one thing at Disney. Like, people could be there on their Make-A-Wish trip. This could be somebody, you know, celebrating one last vacation before, you know, a family member with a terminal illness is no longer with us. Mm-hmm. Whatever it may be. Coming to celebrate, you know, somebody who is no longer in the family. There's a lot of things that people would go there for to commemorate. And you just, you make sure that everyone feels seen and heard and appreciated. And I think that's carried me through pretty much every job. Just listening to people. People want to be heard. They want you to interact with them, not to just cut mm-hmm. it short. So that's one thing that we do here, of course, is you listen to your customers, what they need, how you can help them, maybe if you can do something a little more efficiently, and just kind of giving that personal touch to it too, mm-hmm. like I would do at Disney, where now, like if I'm talking to somebody, I remember last winter where, you know, certain parts of the country were experiencing snowstorms and shutdowns and different things, and just starting the call off with one of our customers like, you know, how are you guys doing down there? Are you guys doing okay? Is everyone hanging in there? And I remember somebody told me, they were like, nobody's asked me how we're doing. Like, it's just that, just takes a second, but just, you know, giving them that personal interaction and showing them that you actually do care and that you're not just putting on a show, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Trucking traditionally is, there's not much time for emotion.
Exactly.
It's like, it's the speed of email and things are mm-hmm. flying. So it's nice to be able, when you're able to include those things mm-hmm. and things like when, if you have a phone call, being able to smile through the phone and you can even smile through email, which a nice emoji in there or something.
I
don't know if that
looks
good. Those things can make it special. And I'm going to quote Kyle mm-hmm. here. I was talking to him about this and creating an experience for someone. It goes along mm-hmm. with what you were saying. Make people feel glad you're there. Mm-hmm. Make people feel glad that they are there. Mm-hmm. Make people feel glad that they are there. Wait, hold on. Make people feel glad. Sorry. Make people feel that you're glad that they are there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting this whole tongue tied. And we've hit our max time, Daniel, so my brain is on its last brain cell. But when you're excited that someone is there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're not, it's not an interruption.
Yeah.
You're happy to mm-hmm. be there with them. And so focusing on not making it a burden, but mm-hmm. it's a joy.
Exactly.
It's a joy to help you.
Yeah.
So that was my takeaway with this stuff too.
Yeah, no, you're right on the money. I think that we work for a very unique company in the industry. So it makes it easy to be kind to people and to love where you work and love what you do and genuinely be happy to talk to people.
Yeah. And we want to be a premium service, right?
Yeah.
A mm-hmm. service that people enjoy mm-hmm. being there. It's like, wow, I really enjoyed my mm-hmm. service that I received, and ways to make it special, ways to give that little quarter mm-hmm. to that kid. And it looks different in every job.
Right.
And we're the trucking industry, and you might be listening, you might be in another job,
mm-hmm.
and other ways to apply this in the medical field mm-hmm. or anything. So, just stuff to think about. Anything else you'd like to say about that?
I'm very appreciative for all my experiences, but especially being here and being able to bring in some of my knowledge from other places like Disney. I never would have thought I would have ended up at a trucking mm-hmm. company. So mm-hmm. Being here and still being able to talk about one of my biggest passions is really cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm glad that you were able to do this. It was fun. If anything, now I just want to go to Disney. I don't know if that solved anything, but or you're probably listening. It's like, well, at the very least, I know what I'm going to do next.
Yeah.
But also knowing, just like you said, giving people that personal touch, mm-hmm. thinking about what are people going through, learning how to listen, mm-hmm. those discovery calls that you did, that every day we have someone that walks into our life and we have a discovery meeting with them mm-hmm. and learning where are they at and how can I address that. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that. Any shout outs you want to have or for anyone out there?
To all of my coworkers, Disney and here, I appreciate you all and all of our experiences.
Fantastic. Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Thanks for being on this episode today.
Yeah, thank you.
It was fun. And thank you to all our listeners for tuning in. And thank you to Daniel for running audio and video and asking questions. And thank you to everyone. Appreciate you. And until next time, stay purpose-driven and own it every moment.
Hi, everyone. This is CJ from Recruiting at Nussbaum. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit NussbaumJobs.com. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into the conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at terminalexchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nussbaum on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, own every moment and stay purpose-driven.